Grace and peace in the name of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, when we gather around this day and follow all our days, I pray. Amen. I want to talk of the Old Testament reading today, the call of the young boy Samuel. We pray. Lord, your word is a lamp for our feet, a light for our path that reveals all wonderful things to us of the good news of forgiveness and salvation in your blood, that we were bought with that price of your blood, and so we belong to you. We are yours forever. Lord, you've given us your holy word that we now can hear. May we hear like Samuel. May we hear like Philip and Nathaniel and follow you and trust you. Bless us with the Holy Spirit to open our ears and minds and hearts to receive today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, we are in the middle of January 2015, and what is the world out there talking about? Well, the world is talking a lot about terrorism. May God help us with that and certainly defeat evil. What else is the world talking about? I guess tomorrow's Martin Luther King Jr. Day, a day off from school. We pray for our nation, certainly, justice, peace, love in our nation, the gospel we proclaimed. We also might think of the State of the Union address coming up from President Obama. What will he say? What's the plans and the argument about all of that? Football playoffs today, Super Bowl coming up, Academy Awards if you're in the movies is coming up. Cold weather, when's spring going to come? Although today's going to be another spring type of day here in Knoxville. All things that are on our minds as we begin a new year. In the church, we think of something much more important than all of that. In the church, the emphasis always now is on discipleship. Follow Christ. He lay in the manger for you. Wonderful. He was baptized last Sunday. We celebrated his baptism. Wonderful. Now he's headed to the cross, the resurrection. Good Friday, Easter are coming. Now you come follow. Don't sit on the sidelines. Don't try to sit on the fence. Come follow Christ. Learn from him. Study him. Serve him. Receive his gifts. Come follow. And so Philip and Nathaniel are called. Again, next Sunday, Peter, James, and John are called. Come follow. Samuel is called. You and I are called. I want to talk about the call of Samuel today. What a great role model he is of responding in faith by the Spirit to the Word of God, the voice of God. I think of the words of Jesus that we must become like a little child, have the faith of a little child. Perhaps Jesus had in his mind Samuel. Be like Samuel of the Old Testament, just a young boy. We don't know how old he is here. Just a young boy. Be like him. Have the faith of Samuel. Have the desire of Samuel. Have the love of Samuel. Four things about Samuel today. He lays in God's house, he stays in God's house, he prays for the word of God, and he does it without delay. He does it today, or that night. Samuel, first of all, he lays in the house of God. Notice what Samuel is doing when God's word comes to him. The voice of God calls him. He's lying down in God's house, he's content. He's happy. There's no other place he'd rather be. And he's right in front of the ark, which is amazing. There's a big curtain there in front of the ark. What does that really mean? We don't know. He wants to be as close to God as possible. That's why he's lying right there in front of the ark. I want to be as close to you as possible. God, I desire you, God. He's just a young little boy. He's away from the world. Away from all the voices out there. He's not at soccer practice. He's not texting his friends. He's not watching TV. He's not doing his homework. All these things that we have to do. He is in the house of God, lying down, content and happy. He's ready to listen, ready to hear, ready to serve. And so God's word comes. And this is the number one attribute of a disciple. You're a disciple of Jesus Christ. You're following Jesus Christ. Well, number one, you love to come to the house of God and listen. And lie down in the green pasture, not fall asleep, but be content, happy, have nothing else to do than to be with God and to listen to his word and to pray to Him. I just love the house of God. I love to eat and drink. I love to pray and praise. Well, nothing more. Away from the world for a little while. Away from all the voices out there. Away from all the busyness out there. To be with my God and to listen. To receive. Soon to eat and drink. And to pray. This is the Christian. I'm reminded of Psalm 23. You know the beloved Good Shepherd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What's the next verse? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. Okay, you want God the shepherd. You don't need anything else but God. Then what's the number one thing He calls you to do? Is you're a good shepherd and you're His lamb. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. First thing about the lamb, the sheep. He maketh me, because I don't always want to, so He, in a way, maketh me as a shepherd. He compels me by His love. He tells me, lie down in the green pasture. Don't have something else to do. Don't be too busy. Lie down and be content and happy and eat and eat and feed your soul with the words of eternal life and the words of forgiveness and the words of God's word, the words of peace. Feed and be content and be a fat, happy sheep in God's house. And then you have much service to do. We'll get to that. You know, Ann reminded me, I think, they say, whether this changes every year, but they say January 17th, which was yesterday, is always the most depressing day of the year. I don't know if that was true this year because it lies on a Saturday, and who's depressed on a Saturday? I guess we can be depressed on Saturdays too. But sometime in the middle of January, we're always really depressed because Christmas is over, spring is a long way out, it's dreary all the time, although it's sunny here today. Seems to rain and snow. It's cold. We get flus, sickness. So we're depressed. We're down about whatever in life. Be it January, be it July or September. Come to Christ for joy. Immerse yourself in the Word of God. Lie down in God's house and receive the words of absolution and mercy and forgiveness. And all the guilt is away, all the burden is away. God forgives me and loves me and is with me through all things. He shed His blood for me. I'm bought with a price, the price of His Son. And all is good with God and I can go face life. Maybe that's a lot better than all the other things we try to do to fight depression. Like ice cream and TV or whatever else. Secondly, Samuel stays in God's house. Initially, young Samuel doesn't understand the call of God. He doesn't understand the Word of God. As the text says, God's word was rare in those days, so he didn't get it. He didn't know God yet. And yet, even though he doesn't understand initially, he doesn't run out. Well, forget it. I don't understand. I'm leaving. I don't get this stuff. Bye. He stays in God's house. He asks questions. He runs to Eli, the high priest, where he should run with questions and to learn. He's eager to learn. His mind is open. He's teachable. He stays in the house of God, ready for the call of God, even though initially he doesn't understand. And this is the Christian. Some parts of God's word are very simple and easy. John 3:16, the 1 Corinthians text, you're bought with a price. Okay, I got it. There's other parts of God's word that are deep and mysterious, and we struggle with it. And we struggle. We don't understand. We're like Samuel. We don't get it because we're sinful. The Holy Spirit hasn't revealed it to us yet. Don't run. Don't say, I can't get it. Don't say, I don't understand. I'm leaving. Struggle. Ask questions. Go to the pastor and ask questions. Perhaps I can help. Stay in the house of God. Dig deeper and dig deeper and read some more and pray some more and study some more and come some more. Like Samuel, stay in the house of God. And we really learn here the grace of God. Notice how God doesn't give up on Samuel. He keeps calling, Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. About five times in the text, you have the name Samuel. He calls him by name, Samuel. God doesn't give up on him. Well, you knucklehead, you don't get it. I'll move on to somebody else. God doesn't give up on you. He never will. No matter your sin, no matter your ignorance, no matter your lack of faith and your doubts and your worries and you don't know my past, Pastor. We all have a wretched past. We're sinners. God will never give up. He's ever calling here. Come, Paul. Come, John. Come, Elizabeth. Come, come. I love you. You're baptized. It's very baptismal, the calling of His name. You're my child. I love you. I forgive you. I forgive you. Do you hear it? I freely forgive you all your sins, and I'm with you. I'll never leave you, never forsake you. I have eternal life for you. Now come and learn and grow and be my servant. The searching word of God, the good shepherd looking for the lost sheep, he'll never give up. He's ever calling you. He ever wants you and desires you like Samuel. I wasn't feeling well earlier in the week. Had very stuffed up head. I just terribly stuffed up and headaches and sinus. And someone asked me, how you doing, Pastor? And I said kind of in jest, well, I'm doing all right. Just cut off my head and give me a new head. Maybe you've said that. Well, really, that's how it needs to be. We need a new head to really live life. And the new head is Christ. May I have the mind of Christ and the faith of Christ. And may I have the eyes of Christ to see what's important. And the ears of Christ to listen. And the mouth of Christ to speak words of comfort. May I have a new head. Paul Buscher shouldn't be head of Paul Buscher, because I'll go and sin and make a wreck of my life. May Jesus Christ be my head, my boss, my Lord. And how does that happen? As I immerse my head in the Word of God. For the Word of God is the brain of Jesus, the mind of Jesus, the mind of God. And I'm immersed in it and I know God and I have a brand new head. If you're trying to run your own life, you're going to mess it all up, friend. Have a new head, the mind of Christ. Thirdly, Samuel prays. And what a simple prayer, a wonderful prayer at the end. Speak, O Lord, your servant hears. Say it with me. Speak, O Lord, your servant hears. This is the prayer of the Christian. Not rambling on and on and on, trying to convince God of something. God knows what you need. This is the prayer of faith, the prayer of humility, of submission. Speak, O Lord, your servant hears. Tell me, God, give me your word and help me grasp it and believe it and understand it. I'm here, God, my ears. Let him who has ears hear the word of the Lord. Samuel doesn't say, make it quick, God, I'm busy. Or I know it already, God. Just speak, God. I want to hear. For you have the words of eternal life. You have the words of hope and joy and peace. No voices out there give me anything. They depress me. You uplift me with your word of love and mercy. So speak. You know, I read in the paper where in school, they are beginning, not necessarily our school here, but I read an article where in some classes they're beginning what they call a brain break for kids. You know what a brain break is? A brain break is when they have the kids get up out of their chairs and exercise for 5 minutes. Because it's cold and we got to have the kids move around and exercise a little aerobics for 5 minutes to give themselves a brain break. I guess it's an okay idea. I don't know. May you every day have a brain blessing. Take your 5 minutes a day, your 10 minutes, your 20 minutes, your hour, and pray. And read God's word and have your devotion. And then above all, come to God's house and lie down in the green pasture. Just a thought for our today. Have a what you call a brain blessing. I'm going to just stop for a moment and pray. And have a devotion. And spend time with my kids in God's word. What a blessing. When you wake up Sunday morning, pray this prayer. Speak, O Lord, your servant hears. When you're driving over, speak, O Lord, your servant hears. When you're in Bible class in Sunday school, where you should be, speak, O Lord, your servant hears. When you come into the church, speak, O Lord, your servant hears. When you open your Bible at home, speak, O Lord, your servant hears. Teach me, guide me to the paths of righteousness. This is the Christian walk. And last of all, Samuel does all this without delay. The young boy has every excuse. God, I'm tired. It's nighttime. Call me in the morning. Let me get a little sleep. Or God, I'm just a young boy. What can I really do for you? I'm just a young little lad here. Call me when I'm older. I'm more talented. I'm more educated. He has every excuse that we would say, that's understandable. But not Samuel. He'll lose a night of sleep to hear the word of God. Speak, Lord, your servant hears. I want to serve today. What can I do today? How can I help today? I'm ready. There's urgency. I'm not going to put it off to tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. But today I want to follow. Today forgive me, God. Today feed me. Today use me. However you want to use me. Help me to love, serve, study, teach people, comfort people. Listen, help me, God. Use me as your servant. Today, not tomorrow. Even in the middle of the night, if I'm so called to do it. This is the heart of the Christian. A survey was taken among young kids, youth, and kids were asked, what would you do for $5? And some of the answers were, I'll clean my room for $5. Well, kids, you ought to do it and pay your parents $5 for having a bed and sheets. Huh, parents? Here in Hallelujah? Hallelujah. You don't need to be paid to make clean your room. Clean your room. Honor mom and dad. Another response, I'll be someone's girlfriend or boyfriend for a day for $5. That's interesting. And here's a really bad one. I'll tell someone they're fat and ugly for $5. Don't ever tell someone that. That's rude. There's other things they said, but here's the real question. January 2015, what would you do to have eternal life? And what would you do to have the forgiveness of your sins? And what would you do to be right with God? And what would you do to really have joy in your life? And to have hope? And to have peace? What would you do to have the resurrection of your body? And to live in glory forever? What would you do to really have a purpose for your life of why you're here and what you're doing in your life? What would you do for that? Well, Christ has done it. He said at the cross, it's finished. He delivered us. He saved us. He bought us. And now, what to do? Here. Like Samuel. Speak, O Lord, your servant hears. Hear the word of God often. Open your mouth and eat and drink of the crucified, risen Lord for forgiveness. Hear. Open your mouth. Receive the gifts of God. And then with great joy, go be a servant. But it's already done. It's already done in Christ. You just come and receive like Samuel. God had done everything for this young boy already. He's loved and forgiven. God's very child. Now, Samuel, I've done it all for you. I've called you. You're mine. I love you, forgive you. Now go, sir. So what do we do in January in the church? We follow Christ. We follow Christ. May we, like Samuel, lay in the house of God, happy and content. Stay in the house of God. Pray for the word of God, understanding, and do it all today, not tomorrow. In Christ's name, amen. We rise.